still want you.
Hello, brother, I'm Grace.
Hello, brother, I'm Stephanie.
And this is Doppelgangers. Today, we're talking about season 8, episode 2 of The Vampire Diaries, which is called Today Will Be Different.
Wouldn't have guessed that episode title. Sorry, don't remember that line.
It's from, I think, the pilot where Elena is like,
oh, yeah.
Today, like, I'm going to be okay, baby.
A big return of the one, the only, Sarah Salvatore. Only one reason for her to come back.
And she did it. She died.
And she did what she had to do.
We say this all the time. Like, sometimes people come back after they got out. It's like, now you're asking for trouble.
You were lucky enough to make it out the last time, girl. Sorry.
You should have transferred away from Duke. I can tell you that.
Yeah, should have hidden a little better. She was never our smartest. She wasn't our smartest today.
I will say she got a little smarter today than she was, you know, her first go-round. Yes. She did learn the right lessons from that first time. Unfortunately, like, she didn't account for sirens being real and for being able to control someone.
And I can't blame her for that.
Yeah, who could have known? Who could have predicted that? Lots to unpack, as always, but before we do, here's a quick ad. I will start, as always, by reading the synopsis from Vampire Diaries Wiki. After learning that someone from Stefan's past may be Damon and Enzo's next target, Stefan, Bonnie, and Caroline head to North Carolina. There, Bonnie takes drastic measures in an attempt to break Enzo free of whatever has a hold over him. At the armory, Alaric and Georgina, why does it say Georgina?
I guess that's her name.
Stumble upon a mysterious symbol that may be related to the supernatural force controlling Damon and Enzo. Finally, Caroline gets an unexpected surprise from Stefan.
Your little Caroline heart was beating.
Finally, some good fucking food.
And you know what? Yeah, let's speed through it. Let's get him engaged. Like, let's stop playing around with this bullshit.
As a Caroline stan, you know, it's been so over for so long. So now that we're so back, I'm glad we're so back.
We're reaching unprecedented levels of so back.
Yes. And it's about time. I had had it.
I think we all had.
Just put them together. We need at least one happy couple. And clearly you're not doing that with Benenzo. So let's take Caroline.
We need at least one happy couple at any given time.
Yes.
And it was Delana for a while before the bitch had to go to sleep.
Yes.
She got tired.
We open the episode at a hotel bar, and there's clearly like a conference going on. Damon is talking to some guy, and we never learn his name. The guy says, so I started out in sales, moved up the ladder. Next thing you know, I'm in charge of the whole darn operation. The ironic thing is I'm a pacifist. I just happen to make steel press machinery.
Uh-huh. That's what a truly evil bitch says.
Yes. Damon says, oh, so what are you doing at a gun convention, if you don't mind me asking? They said political commentary.
Yeah.
The guy says, well, some of our machines can be used to make parts for guns, you know, if the client chooses.
He said, I'm a pacifist. I just work at Raytheon.
Yeah.
I just provide the technology. I'm not responsible for what they do with the technology I designed to kill millions of people.
I'm simply just a guy who works at Lockheed Martin.
You know, I make what I have to make, and it's really good money. You have to understand.
Yeah. Damon says, oh, like the bullets. And the guy says, no, nothing harmful. Damon says, well, what about triggers? Guy says, well, gun's not much good without a working trigger.
Like, hey, Fred, let me ask you this. How's the bad stuff get out if there's no trigger?
Yeah, how's the harmful bullet get out of the gun? It's the trigger.
Come on, buddy.
Damon says, oh, and the little thingy that holds the bullets. And the guy says, yes, the magazine. Damon says, and the business end where the bullets come out. And the guy says, I am merely an ancillary supplier following a corporate mandate. He repeats that to himself when he's trying to go to sleep at night.
Yeah, when his wife is like, how many people have you killed with your inventions? He says, I'm an ancillary supplier.
Damon says, oh, yeah, me too. My colleague and I, he points at Enzo, are in the same boat. You know, guess everyone answers to someone, huh? And the guy says, tell me about it. Ask my wife. Yeah.
And Damon's like, don't you dare say that about a woman.
Damon says, oh, is your wife your plus one to this shindig? And the guy says, why bring sand to the beach, right? And since Damon doesn't laugh, he says, I'm kidding. But then he laughs for quite a while at his own joke.
Yeah, since Damon doesn't say, yeah, you're right, brother. He's like, I'm just kidding.
And what's so funny about this is, like, you know, I don't go to gun conventions for work. So maybe there's a lot more hot people at gun conventions. But I've been to work conferences. It's not like it's like fashion week.
And you work in a field that I think would have more hot people at their conference than most. I go to ecology conferences. They all kind of dress like they went camping.
I go to fundraising and research conferences. So there's a wider range there. But gun conventions, I don't think are where all the hot people go.
Yeah.
But he's acting like he's like, why bring sand to the beach? What?
I got news for you, buddy. You're going to love the siren.
Yeah.
You're going to fall for this one quick.
Damon says, I'll tell you what. I'm going to bring you to my buyer. I think she's going to find you irresistible. And the guy said, she? Hubba, hubba.
He says, oh, I'm in there.
We go over to the hotel pool where Sybil is swimming.
We now know her name after this episode.
We learn her name at the end of the episode, so we're going to refer to her as Sybil. Stephanie, you tried to guess it. You never quite got Sybil, but it's a hard name.
I wasn't going to get this name, although I think there's another TV character with the name Sybil. I think Hannah's boss in season 7 of PLL might be named Sybil.
If you say so.
So this wasn't like an impossible name for me to guess, but it was pretty high difficulty.
Yeah, but you can see why I was telling you you want to look in the area of Silas and Amara.
And this is like a sexy name, but it's not a name you would like pick out of a hat if you're trying to guess a sexy name.
Again, just left of normal. Classic, yeah. Vampire Diaries pick. She comes out of the water and she says, pretty song, isn't it? When Somebody Loves You is playing. She says, there's been so much good music made in the last 200 years. My favorites are the love songs. When I made this playlist 3 days ago, I discovered something called a jazz standard. She starts singing along and this hypnotizes the guy and he starts to walk into the pool fully clothed.
And I gotta say, Natalie Kelly, I love what you're doing here. The voice she is putting on is like so creepy and like kind of sexy.
I will say I have the same issue here that I had on Baker and the Beauty where I feel like she's not quite getting the American accent.
That's what at first I thought she was trying to do a British accent. And then like sometimes Australian sneaks in, like she's not really doing any accent successfully.
That's the Natalie Kelly experience. She has the same dialect coach as Cole.
And as Matt, when he was doing his like Eastern European thing.
Yes.
I love she's doing kind of like a little girl voice.
Yes.
In a creepy way. Like I do think she's eating a bit here.
Yes, she is. I mean, again, this is a little bit of a return to form for villains, which is good. Where it's like a bitchy hot girl. Like, yeah, give me that.
That's the thing. Reyna was never quite this bitchy, even though she like was killing them and going after them.
The problem with Reyna was she was bitchy, but her one track mind was killing them, so she couldn't have any fun with it. You want a villain to have a little bit of fun with it. Reyna, it was always felt like I'm at work.
I've said this before, that the most successful villains, part of their bread and butter is the manipulation of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And Reyna wasn't really manipulating. She was just throwing swords at them, which like yes. is scary in its own way, but like, this bitch is like staring you dead in the face and like talking to you a little creepy. So that's working.
And part of what works about her too, I think, is the desire to be liked. Because I think the thing about Reyna is she didn't care if they liked her or not. And the thing about Sybil that is interesting to me is that she can mind control them to follow her, but it really eats away at her that they don't want to do it. Like she can control them to do everything, but she's like, but I want you to want to. And that's what's good about a villain is that she has real personal stakes in the matter. She wants them to like her, even though she knows she's manipulating them and like making them run away from their families. She's like, but why won't you just have fun and hang out with me?
And I think that works particularly with the creature of a siren of yes. like, I want to overcome men's emotions, needs, thoughts. Like, I want to win in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's working.
I think it's working. I mean, and again, after we watched season 7, they could have made the villain a bag of bananas. And I would have been like, it's working, bitch.
The entity could have been a cloud. And I would have been like, at least they didn't try another person for it to fail.
Yeah.
And they pulled her out. And, you know, she's working. It is kind of like Reyna if she slayed.
Yes. Anyway, she turns to Damon and says, you enjoy this, don't you? And Damon says, you're the psychic, you tell me.
And I was like, where'd psychic come from? And then I was like, oh, she's mind controlling them.
Sybil says, you know, I wish Enzo shared your sense of fun. Why does he keep trying to get rescued? And Damon says, what are you talking about? And Sybil says, come on. You think the same thing I do. You suspect he's not a team player. Damon says, well, he's used to working solo. He'll come around. And Sybil says, I hope you're right because I need him to be like you. All in, total commitment is what makes it fun. She lays the guy down under the water. She dunks him. She sings a little bit more. And Damon is like, oh my God, slowest murder ever.
Damon's like, can you move it? I want to lay down and take my nap and visit my one memory I'm allowed to have.
Yeah, literally. Sybil says, I'm telling his mind to stay calm. I've read on the internet that chickens slaughtered in factories don't taste as good because their bodies release all this adrenaline. You've been awake for less than 24 hours. What the hell are you reading?
I mean, she's been on that computer.
She's been catching up.
It's on the MSN homepage, clicking around.
Just seeing what comes up. Damon says, oh, so we're worried about adrenaline now? And Sybil says, we're tasked with harvesting evil souls. But that is no reason that this guy has to taste like a chicken that died in a urine-soaked panic.
Well, this is interesting. We are tasked. Just an interesting flag.
That she seems to think of them as co-workers, not necessarily underlings.
Or that, like, you know, she's the project manager, but sure. She's not the CEO.
She's the project manager. They're her team. But she has to report to someone, too.
Yeah.
Interesting. Who do you think she's reporting to?
The devil.
Why not?
So, I mean, we're in this hell space. So whether it's the devil itself or something devil adjacent, I think that's where we're going.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going one single devil necessarily, but...
Do you think the devil is like also a siren or like a modified siren?
No, I think the devil is like using sirens as servants. That's what we kind of alluded to last week.
Sure. Do you think Sybil's like a top siren or do you think she's like a junior siren?
I think all sirens are about even. I mean, I'm sure the longer you go, you're a little better at it. But like, you know, you sing, you get them. It's pretty straightforward. Like there's not really there can't be a huge skill gap in it, you know? Like if you're a siren, you can already sing.
Yeah. So she's reporting straight to the top of the food chain. There's no one between her and the top of the food chain.
Yeah. I think, you know, the devil has a lot of servants. Or hell has a lot of servants.
Damon says, well, just so you know, every other meal we brought you was in full freakout mode. And Sybil says, huh, well, in that case, fear is delicious. Never mind, internet.
She says, the internet is wrong sometimes.
She says, boo. And then the guy realizes he's being drowned. So he freaks out and Sybil has fun with it and he dies.
Yeah, he starts kicking. It's not really going anywhere. I mean, you're under the water already, buddy.
We go to the Salvatore house. Caroline has parked her car because she's moving in. And she writes to Elena. She says, dear Elena, hope this isn't too messy because I'm doing the mom thing of grabbing any spare moment to write, even in my parked car. It's my turn to be the bearer of not entirely bad tidings, because finally there's some good news too. Bonnie heard from Enzo, sort of. He left something for her to find. It wasn't exactly a love note, but it looks like he's on our side. And elsewhere in actual romance.
She said, and now they're done with them. Me.
She says, the Salvatore house is about to become my official residence. I absolutely love it. The water pressure needs some work, but Stefan seems to be very focused on home improvements. We can see him like doing renovations. It's like, damn, what?
Yeah, knocking a wall down. We're getting all this stench of Lily out of there.
Yeah. Caroline says either that or he needs to let out his frustrations about losing Damon's trail again. On a brighter note, there have been zero unwanted house guests since last week's craziness. Lizzie and Josie are blissfully unaware that they were even in danger. I wish Rick and I could say the same. He was just as freaked out as I was, but he's distracting himself by researching our new enemy. Whatever real-life supernatural thing is controlling our friends, Rick will find a way to fight it. Rick gets a call from Caroline, and Caroline says, hey, just checking in. Hope I didn't wake the girls this morning when I took the boxes out of the garage. Will you just please remind them I'm spending the whole weekend with them? And Rick says, they know. They're fine. They're upstairs watching cartoons after eating big bowls of sugar. They have excellent lives. And Caroline says, you're right. And Rick says, no comment about sugary cereal. And Caroline says, Celine almost died protecting our kids. I'm okay with her choosing their cereal. Celine calls out to Rick, and Rick says, gotta go. Bye. Celine says, I'm sorry to bother you. I have permission slips for a history field trip. What school did they go to? They're three. Not to nitpick.
Because, you know, a field trip is one thing. You can go on field trips with kindergarten. Why is it a history field trip? You're not going on a subject-specific field trip in kindergarten.
Well, and plus, then Rick says, okay, that's a lot of fine print for a walk to town square. So, like, maybe it's history adjacent, but what, you're reading a plaque in town square? Famously, we've been to that town square. There's not a ton there.
That's why it's for the three-year-olds.
That's true. Celine says, I know, right? Things were so much simpler when I was a kid. Also, I wanted to tell you I noticed something weird. I think you guys overpaid me this week. Might have been a mix-up. And Rick says, no mix-up. We decided to give you a raise. And Celine says, any particular reason? And Rick says, well, when you got your throat slit.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that. He says, trust me, you earned it.
He said, just believe me. You needed a raise and we undersold it even. Like, we probably should be paying you more.
Exactly. We go back to the hotel pool. Damon is sleeping by the pool with a little cocktail next to him. And of course, we go see his dream. He's dreaming of him and Elena's first meeting again.
Uh-huh.
He's like in the memory watching the two of them from the outside. At the pool, Sybil is like looking at him and says, why is he always napping?
Do the math, girl.
Yeah. She says, me, I love keeping my new eyes open. After you spend a couple hundred years with little shriveled up eye sockets underneath where your eyebrows used to be, you take pleasure in using all parts of your body. And she like seductively strokes her leg. Enzo doesn't bite on this at all. He's like, whatever, girl.
Enzo's like, I'm not interested. Pass.
Enzo's like, I've seen plenty of legs.
Yeah.
He rolls his eyes. And Sybil says, you are even more disappointing. I've had no luck getting into your head, not since the day we met. And Enzo says, well, on that day, I was unprepared for your attack. Now I'm prepared. Anyway, I don't know why you're complaining. My free will is at rock bottom. I do almost everything you say, even when I don't want to. And Sybil says, yeah, the almost part of that sentence is what vexes me. Come here. Enzo goes to her. Sybil grabs his head and says, just a peek. She tries and she struggles a little bit, but she does get a little glimpse of Sarah Salvatore.
And I did recognize her in the glimpse.
You said, oh. Sybil says, you'll give in eventually. And Enzo says, eventually, maybe quite some time. My previous record for torture was 70 years and change. The other fellow blinked first, by the way.
Reference to Dr. Whitmore.
Yes. Sybil says, well, you blinked a little bit just now. I pried a yummy tidbit from your head. A name. Who's Sarah Nelson? And Enzo says, don't know, don't care.
Enzo's like, that wasn't a blink. Trust me on that.
Yeah. Sybil says, your mouth can lie, but your subconscious can't. Sarah Nelson, why do you feel an attachment? And Enzo says, maybe she's someone from the telenovela I'm hooked on.
He should just start picturing actresses. She can't know every famous actress.
That's actually so true.
Just picture Jennifer Aniston. How is she going to get Jennifer Aniston? And if she does, so be it.
Yeah, I guess the problem with that is they could mind control to get Jennifer Aniston, and then it'll be like a really public death. They'll investigate.
Yeah.
But I guess what are they going to do? Catch them? It's not a true crime show.
What's the worst that's going to happen? Enzo is going to end up in a cell again?
Yeah, I think he'll be okay.
I think he'll make it through.
Sybil says more lies. She means something. Get up, sleepyhead. It's time for fun. Damon wakes up. We go over to the news station. Stefan is on the phone with Caroline, who's there, and says, what does your boss think of your daily hobby of tracking crime reports? And Caroline says, I told her it's like a really dark version of Pinterest. Caroline says, did you see the cranberry muffins in the break room? I got them at the girls' bake sale. And Bonnie says, I'm not hungry. And Caroline says, yeah, but you need to eat something. And Bonnie says, I will, later. Right now, we need to be looking for crimes further away from Tennessee. They might have been traveling the last few days. Caroline says, okay, I'll widen the search radius, especially now that we know Enzo's leaving clues. Bonnie says, why hasn't he left anymore? And Stefan says, well, Enzo's playing double agent. I'm guessing he needs to pick his moments.
Stefan's like, trust me, I've played this game.
Yeah. As someone who's played double agent, let me tell you, you can't leave clues every single day.
It's hard to get opportunities. They love to have their eyes on you.
Bonnie says, oh, they are North Carolina. Two murders in two different towns just this morning. And Caroline says, both women died of neck wounds. Bonnie says, was there anything strange found at the crime scene? Caroline says, all the information they have so far are the victims' names. There's Sarah Nelson McGowan, and the second victim is Sarah Jane Nelson. Stefan says, I'm guessing Enzo picked his moment. And Bonnie says, what makes you say that? Because famously, for this arc, she was in the prison world.
Yeah, she missed this whole thing.
Stefan says, because there's another Sarah Nelson living in North Carolina. Her real name is Sarah Salvatore. She's my last living relative, unless Damon gets to her first. We go in the car. Stefan is driving. Caroline is in the front seat. Bonnie's in the back seat. And Stefan says Sarah's mother was Zach Salvatore's girlfriend in 1994. Zach Salvatore mentioned.
Zach Salvatore mentioned season 8. We're here, bitch.
Bonnie says, oh, I know this story. Damon killed a pregnant lady. It's the worst thing he's ever done. Caroline says debatable, but it does make the short list. T. Stefan says the baby survived, grew up as Sarah Nelson. Caroline says Stefan made sure she got adopted by a loving family, gave her a trust fund, kept her safe. Bonnie says, so why would Damon target Sarah? And Stefan says he wouldn't. He doesn't even know she exists. And Caroline says, but she and Enzo had a frenemy thing for a while.
I don't know if that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a frenemy thing.
I don't really know what I'd call it, but I wouldn't say that.
Well, I'd call it maybe like a stalker slash victim thing.
Yeah. Well, Enzo used to use her to get at Stefan.
Yeah. Bonnie says, so you think it was Enzo's idea? And Stefan says, I'm not trying to get in his head, just trying to save Sarah. That's all.
He's like, I'm just saying only one of them knew about her. So,
yeah.
I don't know why he did it, but...
Of course, Bonnie doesn't want to believe that, like, Enzo would essentially, like, call for a hit on Stefan's one living relative. But it's like, girl, you didn't see the beef they had.
Well, and also, like, who's Enzo, like, what name is Enzo going to give her? And this was a chance to give a name that, like, they would know about.
Yes.
Like, so they could follow them. Like, this makes sense.
And I think he knows that Sarah has some ability to defend herself. In a perfect world, I think he would have given her, like, Lily or Maggie's name.
Yeah.
But then they might have searched for a long time and not found them.
So I see why he's doing this. I was going to say, I don't blame him for this, but when have I ever blamed Enzo for anything?
Yeah.
And also, I don't give a fuck about Sarah, so.
Well, and also, I will say, there's a number of mistakes that happen that could have stopped Sarah from being killed, and those are not Enzo's fault. Granted, Enzo put her in the line of fire, which is his fault, but
yeah.
The number one person to blame is Sarah Salvatore. She needed to get her fucking act together and get moving. She was dilly-dallying.
Yeah, she was taking 20 minutes to pack her camera bag. Like, is your camera bag not already packed?
Especially when they knew she was already in North Carolina. And also, let's be honest, Bonnie had a good...
Yeah,
had a good of
fault in this.
Yes. What they really should have done is she takes a go bag, she flies somewhere, and then Stefan can pack her stuff up and ship it to her.
Yeah. Enzo did his best with his ability to stop her from dying.
Yeah.
He did what he could.
Mm-hmm. He can only do so much. Stefan and Caroline share, like, a longing look and then hold hands, and Bonnie looks like she wants to kill herself.
Yeah, Bonnie's like, oh, this fucking sucks.
So she puts on her headphones and says, let me know when we get close to rally.
Which, I understand that, like, they're in their own world, and I don't blame them for, like, not noticing how hurt she is by this, but, like, she's making it pretty clear she doesn't want to see this.
But also,
like, that's not to say they can't hold hands.
They also just got back together.
Yeah, no, like, I don't think anyone's at fault here, but of course, poor Bonnie is like, come on.
I know. We go back to the caves / the vault under the armory. They're in the room of all the treasures, and Georgie says, where's Harvey? Which I guess is what she calls the skeleton.
Yeah.
Rick says, oh, I sent his bones to be DNA tested. Seemed like the scholarly thing to do. So why are you not in DC with your fellow interns? She said, because I want to fuck you.
I'm saying this as a joke, because I don't think it's true. But what if Harvey is the devil? Just like in the first Saw.
Just the skeleton?
He's hot. He's masquerading as a skeleton. Because I think a moving skeleton is embarrassing.
But his bones got sent off to be DNA tested. Is he going there?
He's just lying in wait.
Okay, maybe.
I'm just saying that as a joke, mostly.
I'm keeping it in the episode. And I'm going to cut out the part where you said I'm saying this is a joke.
I said it. You can keep it in. I don't care.
Yeah, you're on the mic.
Because what if it's right? If I was joking too hard and I didn't think there was a chance it was right, I wouldn't have said it.
Georgie says, how many people does it really take to pull studies on Greek mythology from the Library of Congress?
And she is right on that, because you can do that online now, by the way.
Well, Rick is clearly doing this to get them out of his hair. Because he says, you know, have you ever heard the phrase publish or perish? See, you guys helped me not perish as the head of the St. John Armory Foundation, and I'll extend your internship. It's a win-win. Georgie says, so you're really going to publish a paper on sirens? Like, obviously the paper is a cover.
Yeah, it's unclear if he's, like, still involved with academia somehow. I think he's just doing, like, independent research. Because, yeah. Let's be serious, the foundation doesn't exist. I guess it must. How else is he paying these people?
Well, yeah, I'm sure that it does. I mean, I'm sure they have a 990. That's a form that foundations have to file.
I'm guessing Alex set that up to, you know, get money.
Yes, to get government funding into research, which, hey, got to do it. But clearly, I think this paper is a cover to get all the interns out, but not Georgie. She can't be swayed.
She's going to be there. She's like, I will kiss this man if it kills me. And it might.
She said, I'll be there even more if everyone else is gone. Are you kidding? One-on-one in a cave?
There's an underground vault full of stuff. There's good odds something related to hell is happening, and I've got the perfect tattoo to get me in there.
It's on my stomach. I can show off my flat stomach.
Man, I wish I got this tattoo on my boob.
Damn it.
God damn it.
Georgie says, why the giant rush? And Rick says, it's called a submission deadline. And Georgie says, then why are you still playing around in here instead of researching like the rest of us? Rick says, A, I've yet to see you take your research assignments seriously. B, I am down here because this room is literally buried in untapped information. Check this out. He reads from, like, a diary. It says, there is now a wall where there was none before. My friends have forgotten me, though I can hear her voice louder than ever. And Georgie says, her voice. So your theory is that Harvey was hearing an actual siren, like a supernatural creature. I mean, we can assume pretty much, yeah.
Georgie, she doesn't know shit's real, but he's like, yeah, that's not a crazy leap given my experience.
Rick says, not a theory, just data. Certainly not data.
It's, you know, one firsthand account from someone. Not necessarily data on its own.
He says, is my eyesight improving or is it actually easier to read today? And Georgie says, oh yeah, I did a little cleanup on it. Now you can read the top corners. Do you want to fuck me yet?
So are we in love? I cleaned a dirty book, which is actually my job as a research intern.
Rick reads Midsummer's Day, 1790. 1790? I've seen that date somewhere. The archive room. Georgie says, see, I'm totally helping. Then Rick says, shut up, Georgie. And she said, yes, we're in.
She said, okay, that's almost flirting.
We go over to Raleigh. We're outside the Raleigh Community Center. Damon and Enzo are sitting on a bench. And Damon says, okay, 20 questions. So I'm thinking of a person, reasonably good looking, charming accent, and he'd be the most amazing wingman if he just got rid of his murder complex. And Enzo says, number one, that's not how you play 20 questions. And number two, regardless, your answer is either Jesus Christ or me. And Damon says, got it on the second try. Why are you resisting instruction? Enzo says, I'm not resisting anything. I'm here stalking Sarah Nelson with you as instructed. What in this tableau reads as me resisting? He's like, find evidence. And Damon's like, you know my evidence is a vibe.
Yeah, he's like, you know I won't find any evidence, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Damon says, oh yeah, you're here, but you're distracted. You're not having any fun, Enzo. And Enzo says, well, you're impossibly needy. And Damon says, no, I'm highly engaged and I want you to be like me. Come on, man, we finally got a cushy assignment for once. I mean, chasing unsuspecting women that just happen to share the same name? Why can't you just enjoy the change of pace? And Enzo says, because I'm wondering what the boss lady's up to. Why is she suddenly pushing the pause button on her mysterious master plan? And Damon says, easy. She has a new priority, giving you a spanking. You put her in a mood. Now she wants you to flip your switch. Why do you have to go and piss her off? And Enzo says, how are you so afraid of her without your emotions?
And Damon says, you did get me there a bit, but don't worry. I can get out of this one.
Damon says, I'm not so much afraid of her. I'm afraid of that eternal damnation preview she gave me when she got in my head. And Enzo says, that's mind games. None of it's real. One thing about Damon, he falls for mind games.
Well, especially a mind game related to hell, because he knows odds of him going to hell looking good. Let's be serious.
Damon says, I disagree with all of your opinions. And then he says, oh, there she is. And we see Sarah approaching. And Damon says, Sarah Nelson, I thought your yoga class would never end. Now, Sarah's just sitting there talking. I'd be like, I'm not talking to you.
I keep walking. My headphones are in. Uh-uh.
But I guess she recognizes Enzo, so that's probably why.
Yeah.
Enzo says, a gentleman introduces himself first, Damon Salvatore. May we talk somewhere privately, Miss Nelson? And he is specifically like, this is Damon Salvatore, Sarah. Remember, like I told you?
Yeah, he's like, I gave you this information. Let's double check your understanding.
They walk like away from the crowd, and Damon says, why so formal, Mr. St. John? And Enzo says, we've fallen into a lack of civility. Thought I'd switch it up. Sarah gets a vervain dart, hits Damon. Damon falls to the ground. And Enzo says, well, I'm glad our time together taught you to defend yourself. Sarah says, you're lucky I only had one dose of vervain on me or you'd be on the ground with him. And I take it every day, so don't even try to compel me. Enzo says, awesome. You'll just have to leave town of your own accord. Have you got a passport?
He said, girl, I'm with you, okay? Don't worry.
I don't need to compel you as long as you leave town and get out of here.
Now, if I could have compelled you, I would have compelled you to move a little quicker.
We go over to Sarah's apartment. And Enzo says, still a renter, I see. And Sarah says, I can't afford to buy. After you told me my trust fund came in the Salvatore, I stopped cashing my checks. Didn't want to take money from serial killers. Well, then you better start selling some photographs, bitch. The world's expensive.
Girl, you're better than me. I don't care who is paying a trust for me. I'm taking it. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Give me the money.
Not my business. They go inside and Caroline and Stefan are already there. And Enzo says, what are you lot doing here? And then Bonnie comes out and says, nice to see you too. And Enzo says, hello, love. He says, gulp.
Enzo says, oh God, I'm in trouble.
We go over to the armory. Rick says, okay, remember, we're looking for items that arrived prior to 1800. And Georgie says, that is so many things. We could literally be here all night. She has the biggest smile on her face. It's like, well, girl, rein it in.
And you're definitely going to be here all night if you don't start at least pretending to look at something. Yeah. She's literally standing there staring at Alaric, which, like, I get. But, girl, you have to at least pretend you're part of this.
Rick keeps checking his phone, so Georgie's, like, expecting an important phone call. And Rick says, just making sure I don't miss a text from the nanny. And Georgie says, oh, and how often does hot nanny text you? She said, I know what your nanny looks like. That was one of my first questions.
She said, I clocked that I have some competition.
She said, in my mind, I am on The Bachelor, and it's me and Celine in the final two.
She said, I don't know who that Caroline bitch is, but she's not in it.
Yeah. Rick says, the kids went on a field trip today. Just want to make sure they got home all right. Georgie says, I wouldn't sweat it. I'm sure hot nanny's got you covered. And Rick says, she's not hot. Don't lie.
You don't have to lie, Rick. I mean, we saw her.
And also, don't, you should not address this.
Yeah, just don't respond to this, because she's winning.
Just be like, yeah, she's a great nanny. Georgie says, oh, I know, you're her boss, so you don't notice how hot she is. That old song. She's like, is that what we're doing here?
Georgie, I respect that you are bold and putting yourself out there, but girl,
I respect the hustle queen. Take it to someone else.
You gotta have like a sentence off in between, or it's just aggressive. Like, not every sentence has to be a double entendre flirt moment. Like, again, let's do some fucking work.
Especially since he doesn't seem to be biting. Like,
yeah.
If he were like responding flirtatiously, it's like, okay, let's keep going. He's not once encouraged this, and she just keeps doing it. And I so respect her hustle.
I beg you to mix just a little bit of subtlety in.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Just as a fun experiment.
Just to see, try something new.
Rick says, focus on the research, please. And Georgie says, I'm not really sure why this archive deserved your fit of geek excitement. And Rick says, June 21st, 1790 was the day that the armory received a mysterious shipment from the town of Mystic Falls. Mystic Falls that was founded in 1864, but whatever.
Maybe it was like an incorporated area.
Yeah, who knows? He reads from a journal. Midsummer's Day, 1790, we took the crate to the vault. Its artifact was left above ground for safety. Georgie says, admit it, my mad restoration skills have made me indispensable.
Girl, you haven't found a single thing today.
Rick keeps reading and says, secondary item, June 21st, 1790. Artifact originated 2200 BC. I mean, I've never researched anything that old, which in and of itself is weird. And Georgie says, but not weirder than the vault that housed a supernatural creature. Perhaps a siren. And Rick says, nice try. As for my geek excitement, I fit right in here. Only in the armory do they do doodles in cuneiform. And he shows a little cuneiform symbol. Georgie seems freaked out. She says, I've seen that symbol before. I can't deal with this right now. She said, that's enough of a work day for me.
She said, I recognized one symbol. I'm exhausted.
Rick says, are you okay? Wait, where are you going? So Georgie walks away and Rick's phone rings. So he answers and says, hey, what's up? And Caroline says, oh, is this a bad time? And Rick says, no, I'm just getting used to the millennial work ethic. Ah,
yuck, yuck. Caroline's a millennial too, bitch.
She's like, what does that mean?
She said, okay, boomer.
Rick says, what are you calling from inside a well? Caroline says, no, we're at Sarah's apartment. I just stepped out to give Bonnie and Enzo some space. And Rick says, you've got Enzo. And Caroline says, barely. At first, I thought he was going to try to escape, but then he made himself stay and talk. And Rick says, how do you manage that? And Caroline says, willpower, I guess. He's fighting some kind of mind control. I mean, he won't even look at Bonnie. And we do a quick cut to Sarah's apartment where Enzo is literally like looking off to the side away from Bonnie. It's
like his
funny.
His head is turned away from her. He is like fighting to not look at her because he's like, I can't handle it.
And Bonnie is just sitting and staring at him and says, so is this the new you? Long silences, cryptic messages. Yes, girl, it is.
I'm literally being held captive.
Enzo says, it wasn't so cryptic. You understood it, didn't you? Bonnie says, not to nitpick, but you could have just written the word siren. And Enzo says, see, there lies the dilemma. The more specific my thoughts are, the more she can key in on me psychically. And Bonnie says, we are talking about a living, breathing siren, right? Like mermaid monsters who sing to sailors. And Enzo says, she doesn't sport a fishtail, though she does like to swim. Bonnie says, what does she want with you? And Enzo says, as far as I can tell, she wants two loyal soldiers to keep bringing her supper. You didn't see what she looked like before she fed on the flesh of 87 victims. It wasn't pretty.
So drop the body count. Interesting.
Do you think there's any significance to the number 87?
No.
Okay.
But now I'm not sure, now that you asked me.
Bonnie says, why you and Damon? And Enzo says, because we were in the vault when she needed a snack. I don't know, Bonnie. I wish I did. And Bonnie says, okay, what's your weakness? How do we stop her? And Enzo says, well, I'm hoping that can be discerned by others because I myself am completely occupied maintaining my cover. I have to return to her soon.
He said, I have to fight my thoughts 24 hours a day, so can you guys do some fucking work?
Could you guys maybe figure out how to defeat her?
Yeah.
Bonnie says, wait, why do you have to return to her? You're safe now. And Enzo says, no, I'm not, and neither are you if I stay here.
And Bonnie said, I'm not listening to that.
Yeah. She says, Enzo, and she tries to grab his hand, and he says, don't. I can't allow myself to think about how important you are. And Bonnie says, am I important? It's hard to tell these days. Girl, he just told you why he's doing this.
He's doing his absolute best, especially because after last episode, it's like, Bonnie, he is showing you so much love and I know you can't see it, but like, trust me, he's putting the work in.
He's really doing everything.
Yeah.
Enzo says, look, understand my situation. The enemy has been entering my mind, attacking me mentally, digging for ways to leverage my obedience. Bonnie says, is that why Sarah's a target? And Enzo says, much to my dismay, my interrogator wouldn't leave my head until I gave her a meaningful name. All I can do now is try to not get Sarah killed. In the bedroom, Sarah packs her bags and she's talking to Stefan. And she says, look, I get it. You're my long lost whatever. You feel bad it came to this. At last we finally meet. Anything else? Stefan says, well, I was hoping you'd be a little less pissed at me for trying to keep you safe.
He said, God forbid I try to protect my one living relative and you don't like me. And it's not my fault, really.
Yeah, it's really Enzo's fault for turning you against me.
Yeah.
He said, did he tell you I was a ripper? As true as that may be, it's only a piece of the puzzle.
It hasn't been true for some time now.
Sarah says, wouldn't you be pissed if a stranger secretly controlled your life with lies and compulsion for 18 years? I know it shocks you I have trust issues, but I'm not leaving here with anyone but Enzo. At least he wants me to make my own choices. Number one, girl. Stefan's like known for letting people make their own choices.
Yeah.
But number two, I know that like you know Enzo and you trust him more. You see that he was with the guy who was trying to kill you. Maybe you don't want to stick with Enzo right now.
One, also like, yes, Stefan used compulsion in her life, but only to like improve her life.
Yeah.
And he didn't even do anything crazy. Like, I'm sure he helped her get into Duke because we've all seen her photographs. Yeah. And like, he made sure she got like a good family. Like, that's not like, I can't believe you did those things to me. Like, thanks.
Yeah, you're fine. It all worked out okay.
Take the trust.
The only thing about your life that is bad is your involvement with vampires. And that's not Stefan's fault.
Uh-huh.
It's Enzo's.
And Matt's.
But Matt was only doing that to help Enzo. And he was forced into it by Enzo.
But if Stefan hadn't been so mean to Enzo, then we wouldn't be here.
And if Enzo hadn't been so mean to Stefan, and if Damon hadn't left Enzo to die in a fire, I mean, everyone's to blame for all sorts of things.
Except Enzo.
Or Stefan. Stefan's never done anything wrong in his life.
Sure.
They go to the living room, and Sarah says, I still need to pack my camera gear. Girl, leave it. Say goodbye to that dream.
You're taking too long to pack. I'm sorry. You should have had 10 minutes to pack, and you can figure out the rest later.
Honestly, she shouldn't have even had that long. They should have just brought her in a car.
Bring, like, your wallet, phone, charger, like, the absolute basics.
Pack a weekend bag, yeah.
Yeah, you need to get moving.
Stefan says, okay, I'll stay with her while you guys get the car. Bonnie says, okay, we'll text you when we're out front. Knowing damn well she's never going to be out front.
Knowing damn well that text will never come. But it's okay because Sarah doesn't even get packed in time for them to be like, where's the text?
Yeah. Enzo says, hurry, and he and Bonnie go. In the parking garage, Enzo says, we have to move quickly. I expect my captor is looking for me now, wondering where I've gone. And Bonnie says, why can't you stay gone? Why can't you just fight her? And Enzo says, I have been fighting her every moment of every day.
He's like, trust me, I'm fighting really fucking hard.
He says, I'm hiding my innermost thoughts to make her believe there's nothing she can hold against me. I have to get back to keep up the pretense. Do you follow? Bonnie says, yes.
He's making it as clear as possible, like, if there's even a whisper of you in my head, like, she will use it against me. I don't want her to know you exist so she can't use you against me. It's keeping her safe.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Enzo gets in the car, but he turns his back, so Bonnie prevents him, and she says, no, and she goes to the driver's seat and starts driving away. This is just, I understand why Bonnie wants to do this, because she hasn't made a selfish decision in years, and she's the one who's being most hurt by them being gone, and so I get this temptation, but he cannot be more clear about how much this is a bad idea, and this is really leaving Sarah to the wolves in a way that Bonnie wouldn't want to do.
Yeah, and I don't have any beef with Bonnie for this because I think she is just like laser focused on getting Enzo back. Mm-hmm. So I get why she does this, but unfortunately it is the wrong decision. More for Enzo than anyone, because like it just opens up Enzo's mind to like remember he's in love, and then that just makes it easier to access for Sybil.
And also I do get it because it's hard to contextualize how this mind control thing works. And honestly, if I were Bonnie, I would assume it's like a Bluetooth speaker that if I get far enough away, she can't reach me.
Which I can see that thought.
And all the other villains they've encountered have been like, you know, if you run away, you get away from them.
And I think her thought too, a little bit, and I don't think this is like, I don't think this is a mean thought or anything. I think she's kind of like, well, she has Damon and Enzo. I can save Enzo. Maybe she'll be preoccupied enough with Damon that I can get Enzo out and then we can go back to Damon.
Yeah.
Like, I think she's like, we could get one out now. Let's just do it. And he can help us get Damon. I think like, she has something to distract her.
And she's under the impression, her and Stefan both, that Damon's humanity is off. And so they're like, Enzo's going to be the easier one to start with.
And she misses her boyfriend.
Yes.
It's the wrong call, but I'm not mad at her for it.
Yeah. But you know what? That's the thing is, a lot of these people always make wrong calls. Bonnie almost never makes wrong calls.
This is like the one wrong choice she's ever made, I think.
Yes. The only like wrong choice. Because sometimes like timing won't work out for something or...
Or like the expression triangle was a whole thing, but she was being heavily manipulated.
Yes.
Like, she's doing this out of love.
Yeah. And also she deserves to make a selfish decision. She's been through so fucking much.
Yeah. Let this bitch get one thing for herself. She said, no, I've been beat down bad. I need my boyfriend.
Yes.
That's all I'm asking.
I'm not asking much. Go out to the hallway outside Sarah's apartment. Caroline's on the phone. She is making all kinds of calls in this hallway.
She's on that damn phone today.
She said, you don't need me for this, right?
He said, you guys seem to have this well in hand. I'm just going to hang out.
Yeah. Caroline says, Lizzie, only people who don't hit their sisters get to go to the carnival, okay?
Lizzie's always starting some shit.
I relate to her.
She's the one who tried to steal Josie's goodie bag at that birthday party, too.
And she's the one who had more cookies. I guess that's not, maybe she didn't steal a cookie from Josie. Maybe she just likes cookies.
She doesn't fuck with Josie at all.
Yeah. Caroline says, I love you. Okay, now put Celine back on the phone, please. Lizzie calls out for Celine, but then the phone beeps. So the phone like hangs up and Caroline like starts to call back because maybe the call dropped. But then Damon runs up and attacks her. He like stakes her in the stomach or in the low back. And Caroline says, what are you doing? And Damon takes her daylight ring and says, I was told to have fun. And he tosses her ring down the hallway, steps on her phone so it breaks, and then goes. So she's trapped in the shady corner.
Yeah. At least he left the ring in the hallway.
Yeah. That's pretty nice. We go into Sarah's apartment and Sarah says, hey, question, isn't Caroline the same girlfriend that tried to have me murdered? Which obviously wasn't enough for a breakup. Number one, this is a question for the car ride. We don't need to have this conversation right now. Yeah. And number two, you're alive, bitch.
Like, she didn't kill you. Like, do you still have beef with Liam?
Yeah, sorry, moveon.org. Stefan says, well, she wasn't herself that day, which is also true. Sarah says, but she's better now, so we should all just hit the road together? No thanks. Well, I guess you'll see the alternative, and I hope you're happy.
Yeah, you want to die? Okay.
So Damon breaks through the window and grabs Sarah by the head, about ready to snap her neck. And Stefan says, hey, Damon, don't.
Yeah, start with that.
Damon says, I thought I told you to leave me alone. Stefan says, I can't, and you can't kill her. She's part of our family. And Damon says, our family's dead, Stefan, you and I included. And Stefan says, well, she's actually Uncle Zach's daughter. Her name is Sarah Salvatore. Damon says, well, that is impossible. And Stefan says, listen to me. When I saw you last, you were talking like a crazy person, saying your fate had been sealed by the evil you've done. I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. You're not destined to go to hell, Damon. You want to know why? Damon says, talk fast.
Damon said, sure.
He said, okay, I'll bite.
Said, I would love some evidence for that, actually.
We go over to the armory. Rick finds Georgie sitting outside on a bench. And he says, am I going to find cigarette butts on these flagstones? And she says, I'm a little bit better at hiding things than that. Rick says, look, if you want to be taken seriously in academia, you need to exit a room with a little more decorum.
Not you mansplaining decorum to me.
And also number two, clearly decorum's not what she's concerned with. She's concerned with hooking up with you. Like, she doesn't give a fuck.
And she's also concerned about, like, revisiting her memory of being in hell.
Yes.
So I think she's a little overwhelmed at the moment.
Exactly. Georgie says, okay, I'm going to show you something. And she starts to lift her shirt. And Rick says, that is the opposite of decorum.
He said, did you listen to a thing I said?
She says, relax. There's a tattoo on her stomach, but she lifts her shirt all the way, like, way further up than she needs to. And she's real for that.
Like, up to her bra.
Yeah. She said, want to see my flat stomach?
She said, my stomach is flat. Look at it. And there's a tattoo here, but, you know, I want you to take in both at the same time.
Yeah. She has a tattoo on her stomach of the symbol we saw earlier. And she says, does this count as being serious about my research? And Rick says, I'm guessing there's a story here. Well, obviously, bitch.
Okay, detective.
Yeah. Georgie says, depends. Do you believe in hell?
I mean, why the fuck not at this point? Like,
yeah. Rick says, as in a fiery place ruled by a guy named Satan, I think it's fair to say the evidence is inconclusive. How do you know about this symbol?
I love the evidence is inconclusive. You couldn't have picked a more like middle of the road answer to that.
Literally. Georgie says, I saw this symbol when I was dead. And Rick says, care to elaborate?
Rick says, well, I was dead and I didn't see it, so.
Yeah. He said, woohoo, I'm not going to hell. Georgie says, a couple years ago, I was driving my best friend home from a party and I was texting some guy I met because I was a little drunk. Okay, well, I was more than a little drunk and I didn't notice when I drove across the yellow line and I don't remember the crash at all. What I do remember is waking up somewhere else and it wasn't a place so much as this crazy intense awareness of pain and loneliness and fear. And in that moment, I knew I'd killed my best friend. So I'm trapped in this terrifying, icy feeling of self-hatred, right? And somehow I knew that it was going to last forever, as in an eternity. Now, in the middle of all that, the one thing I could see was this symbol. I can't explain it. It was just there. After that, the EMTs jump-started my heart. I guess I flatlined for about a minute. They'd already given up trying to save my friend. And Rick says, well, I'm sorry that happened. And Georgie says, silver lining, that 1 year gap in my resume, my vehicular manslaughter sentence, came with library access. So I used all that time to get into every piece of myth, lore, near-death accounts. I basically gave myself a PhD in hell. In a year?
A lot to say about this, because what judge gave you a year for vehicular manslaughter where you were drunk driving? That's insane. Who did your parents pay off?
She used her feminine wiles.
She just showed her stomach until they let her out.
She already got the tattoo then.
And then a PhD level of research in hell. What constitutes a PhD level of research? Now, me personally, I officially have my PhD at the time of this recording. So I doubt it in a year, queen.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe she was busy.
I mean, she was in jail. She had no other hobbies. She couldn't, like, watch Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah, I have a PhD level research knowledge in Pretty Little Liars.
We can just say anything.
I have a PhD level knowledge in Hot Cheetos. What have I spent at least a year with?
Yeah, exactly. We both have at least a PhD level knowledge in The Vampire Diaries.
At least a PhD.
Georgie says, I did that because I know where I'm going one day. And then she says, I bet you wish I was in D.C. with the other interns, huh? He said, I've wished that since before I knew this story.
He said, I said that all day. You know, here's my thing. Mm-hmm. If I had gotten, you know, a little moment in hell when I killed my best friend, which, you know, deserved, I don't think that I would research hell because I don't think anything I find is going to make me feel better. I would research how to be like a good person to people. I'd start giving to charity, doing enough stuff that I'd be like, how much do I have to do to offset me killing one best friend?
Yeah, how can I tip the scales?
The judge thought a year was enough. So, or I'd get super religious and ask the priest how many Hail Marys I have to say.
I do think that's true. I think, like, if I went to hell for a deserved reason and I came back, I would be like, you know what? Been there, seen it, don't need to know anything else. I lived it, bitch. I'm going to try to not go there, but, you know, what am I going to learn about it that's going to change anything?
Like, best case scenario, I read it different than what I experienced, which I didn't like. But the other accounts are, like, burning and being tortured. So, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other.
Yeah.
I don't really need to know.
Yeah, not my
business.
And
I'm scared of reading something worse.
Literally, I will cross that bridge when I come to it.
Yeah, that's a future problem.
Rick says, no, I don't. I believe you saw a piece of the puzzle. I may not agree with your interpretations, but I believe you are a firsthand source. What do you mean you don't agree with her interpretation of the hell she went to, you bitch?
You can disagree with if she actually saw hell or if this was like a hallucination connected to something else. But she thinks it's hell and she's seeing a mysterious symbol that does seem to be connected to hell. So it's not a crazy jump she's making.
Exactly. Georgie says, you don't think I'm crazy? Do you want to make out?
I mean, I think you're crazy, bitch, but not because you think you've been to hell.
Yeah, not for the hell stuff. Just everything else about
just you. Just kind of your vibe, I think, is kind of crazy. But, you know, hell, sure.
Why not? Rick says, you don't even approach the threshold of the crazy I've seen. So why don't you come back inside and share with me this PhD level knowledge? She says, I'd like to see your PhD level knowledge. Pretty huge dick.
And he's like, okay, go to DC. He said,
okay. Well, you're fired.
You can go home.
This internship's over. Enjoy hell. We go to Bonnie's car. She's driving and Enzo comes too. And he says, oh my God, what have you done?
He's like, Bonnie, what the fuck? I made it as clear as I possibly could have.
Bonnie says, I did what I needed for once. And Enzo says, stop driving. Bonnie says, no, I'm going to get you as far away as I can. And Enzo says, Bonnie, stop the car. His head hurts. We can hear that high-pitched singing we heard earlier. And he says, I have to get out.
He's getting a nosebleed.
Bonnie says, what's wrong? And Enzo says, I'm too far away from her. She's trying to pull me back in. We need to turn around right now. So Bonnie does stop the car. Enzo gets out and he's groaning. And Bonnie goes to him and says, hey, you're going to be okay. And Enzo says, it's not that simple. My mind is bonded to hers. She's gone on the attack, tightening her hold.
And Michael Malecki is acting down because he has veins popping out of every which area of his body. Mm-hmm. Like, he looks stressed.
Bonnie says, so we'll break you free. And Enzo says, there is no breaking free. There's no escaping her reach. Every moment we spend together is another moment she could discover how I feel about you. And Bonnie says, well, I'm not going to let you out of my sight. I can't lose you again. And Enzo says, you never lost me, Bonnie Bennett. And Bonnie says, please stay. And Enzo says, I can't put you in any more danger. You have to let me go. It's very sad.
It's very sad, but he's doing it out of care. And she's starting to see that.
Mm-hmm. We go back to Sarah's apartment. Damon still has, you know, Sarah in a headlock and says, so the sad story of Uncle Zach's girlfriend came with a P.S. Aw, imagine all the Christmases we could have had with Sarah. And Stefan says, my point is that you can't be held accountable for a murder you didn't commit. Sarah is not on your list of sins, if that sort of thing even exists. So if you let her go now, it'll balance the scales even more. This is, I think, kind of the only argument Stefan can make, that it's like, I know you think you're going to hell. All you can do now, stop killing people and hope for the best.
Yeah, because it's like, no, I know you thought you're going to hell because you killed a baby and a pregnant woman, but you only killed the pregnant woman. So you're not going to hell. Like, you only killed the pregnant woman that time, and then you killed all these other people. But the baby was the sticking point for hell, it turns out. So you're free.
But what else can Stefan say?
Yeah, and I think Damon did think he was in hell in the prison world for this exact situation. So, you know, the thought process works. The logic is, you know, what they can do, but it's just a little silly.
Damon says, I don't think it works that way, brother. And Stefan says, even if it doesn't, you have to let her walk away. It's what Elena would want. I know you can understand that. He said, you know what? Yeah, I'll bring up Elena.
Yeah, I'll pull the Elena card. I'm not above it.
He says, come on, Damon, make the right choice. Do it for our family. Do it for Elena. Do it for me. Damon does let go of Sarah and struggles, but he says, go, run, get out of here. Sarah runs to the door and opens it. Unfortunately, who's standing there but Sybil in a brand new white pantsuit?
I mean, she's eating.
And she stabs Sarah.
Fair enough.
So Stefan runs to Sybil and snaps her neck. And Damon says, yeah, you're going to have to do a little bit better than that, Stefan. And Stefan goes to feed Sarah his blood, but Sybil has already popped back up.
Yeah, because there was a point in this episode where I was like, it seems like they could just kill Sybil. Like, as far as we know, but she popped up from a snap neck so fast.
Yeah, so it seems as though, and we don't know if there is a way to kill a siren that we're going to learn about, but it seems as though it's not snapping necks, and that doesn't even have her pass out like a vampire does.
Yeah, I'm sure there is a way to kill her, but it seems complicated, at least.
How do you think you kill a siren? Just out of pure curiosity.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I want to say it's water-related, because it's a siren, so maybe by drowning, but then it feels like it would be really easy for them to die themselves, but I guess maybe you have to hold them down. I don't know. I feel like it's probably a specific weapon, given the way the Vampire Diaries works. Maybe that little Triton thing they find at the end.
Interesting. Sybil grabs Stefan's head and says, he's right. I'm a lot tougher than I look. Stay right there. So she does some like mind control to get Stefan to not move. So he can't move and he's sitting there and he just watches Sarah like as she takes a while to die.
Takes a sweet time, of course.
And Sybil says, so who is Elena?
She said, yeah, I was listening at the door for about 5 minutes before you guys tried to do anything.
Yeah. In the hallway, Caroline struggles with like the stake in her back and she looks at her ring. She tries to get up, but the sun burns her. She sits back down.
And she can't quite reach the stake. It's just, She's pretty paralyzed right now.
Yeah, and because of the stakes, she can't, like, vampire run to get her ring. So that's why she's stuck here. We go back to Sarah's apartment. Sarah says, please. And Stefan says, stay with me, Sarah.
He says, girl, what exactly do you think I can do right now? I'm kind of stuck.
Sybil says, hey, Damon, what part of kill Sarah was too hard for you to understand? This shouldn't be a tough call. How are you disobeying me? That takes a lot of willpower, a real sense of self, a connection to some shred of humanity that you have been hiding from me. So many months into this, and I never realized you had a loyalty leak, which is very irritating. Where does your subconscious go when you try to resist me? She grabs his head. She goes into his head. And we go back to the memory of him meeting Elena. Damon watches Elena. Sybil watches Damon. They are getting their clicks out of this archive footage. They are playing this scene.
Yeah. They're like, run it back again. One more time.
Sybil approaches in this scene and grabs Damon's head. And we see like a Delana montage again. Like, oh, here we go. And then Sybil says, yeah, I can fix this. Thanks for letting me take a peek. Damon opens his eyes. And where Elena was is now Sybil in a Henley.
Yeah.
Real.
Or at least the same color.
And she says, hi, we haven't met. What's your name? And he says, Damon. And she says, I'm Sybil.
She's just self-inserting.
Yeah. In Sarah's apartment, Sybil steps away from Damon. And Stefan says, hey, Damon, you can still make this right. You have to help her.
He said, Damon, any chance you want to heal her?
Sarah, meanwhile, is getting closer and closer to death.
And this is where Sarah's stupidity comes to rear its ugly head again. And I've brought this up in other times. Fake pass out. Pretend you're dead, get them to leave. Now, in this case, it might not have worked because it seems Stefan couldn't move just immediately when they left anyway. So yeah. You might have bled out regardless, but, you know, give yourself a little time.
I mean, the lesson always comes back to, we've learned this since season one. If someone is telling you it's time to leave town, it's probably already a little late.
Yeah, you should have left yesterday.
Do not dilly-dally.
Especially in this case, she could leave and come back. It's not like Sybil's going to hang out in her apartment in North Carolina forever. Like, you've got some...
Yeah.
You don't have, like, she's not chasing you specifically, like, with the Merc. Like, it's not a forever situation.
Exactly. Damon approaches and Sarah says, please. And Stefan says, fight. And Damon says, why? And then Sarah dies.
Sorry, Sarah. I mean, you made it longer than I thought you would. I'll say that.
Yeah. And Stefan looks at Sarah and says, I'm so sorry. Damon turns to Sybil and says, would you like to get out of here? And Sybil says, absolutely. And Stefan says, Damon, wake up. And Sybil says, in a couple hours, I'll be too far away to reach you, and then you can go home. Don't worry about your brother. I've taken over his last mental refuge. I'm giving it a little remodel. And Stefan says, my brother's a lot stronger than you think. And Sybil says, no, he's not. Anyway, good talk. And she leaves.
Sybil said, I think I'm going to be fine, but thanks.
She said, he is really not.
She said, I've been in his head. It was a little easy.
Yeah. We go out to the hallway. Bonnie has found Caroline, so she helps her, gives her her daylight ring, pulls the stake out. And she says, what happened? Did Stefan get Sarah out of town? Bonnie, what kind of question is that? Because you were supposed to pull the car around.
Yeah, you had the car.
So the answer is probably no, all love.
Best case, they got in a cab somehow, but that's unlikely.
Yeah. Caroline says, I don't know. We've both been out of the loop. And Bonnie says, I screwed up. I shouldn't have taken off with Enzo. And Caroline says, well, at least we know he's safe. And Bonnie says, well, actually, he is not. I couldn't break him away from the Siren's mind control. I had to let him go back to her. And Caroline says, so this was all for nothing? We needed you here. And Bonnie says, well, I needed to rescue my boyfriend. And Caroline says, yeah, but we had a plan. And Bonnie says, well, I had a plan too. To grow old with Enzo and come home to him every night. I had a plan to live the kind of life you and Stefan are living right now. Caroline says, so is that what made you go rogue? The fact that Stefan and I are happy? And Bonnie says, no, no, I'm happy you're happy. I am. But when I see everything you have, your home, your boyfriend, your kids, your life, it makes me so alone that I want to die. And this is so sad because it is like, Bonnie is so right to have this feeling. I don't know that they could have gotten Sarah out of town. And also it's kind of like, it's done now. It is what it is. But it's like, Bonnie, you knew that you were shooting this plan in the foot. And that's okay. But Bonnie knew she was probably sacrificing Sarah for her own happiness, which I think she has every right to make that decision. But
it's sad because like Stefan and Caroline have been like waiting to be happy for a long time. And so it's great they're finally happy. But Bonnie really just doesn't have anyone to talk to about any of this. Mm-hmm. And especially like because Enzo's gone, Damon's gone, and she doesn't want to talk about it with Caroline because Caroline's finally happy. She's like, I don't want to bring her down. So she's just alone again after all the work she's done, after finally like falling in love with someone, she just remains alone.
And I think this is another struggle the show has without Elena.
Yeah.
Is I think, unfortunately, because we've had Elena all this time, we developed a really good friendship between Bonnie and Elena and Caroline and Elena. But the Caroline-Bonnie friendship has not been developed as much because they're secondary characters.
Yeah. This is a case where I think Elena's presence might not have changed the full outcome.
Yeah.
Because I do think if Bonnie went to Elena and was like, I want to save Enzo, Elena would be like, let's go do it. Like, yes. Let's work on that. You need him back. Like, and so I think the final result would have been the same, but it would have helped Bonnie through it a little more.
But I think the communication would have changed in this, because I think Bonnie felt like she was so alone, she had to go rogue to rescue Enzo. Whereas if Elena was there, I think what would have happened is Elena would have been like, of course, you go rescue Enzo. I'll take care of Sarah.
Because I do think, like, Bonnie felt the need to go rogue because she was scared if she said we have to rescue Enzo, they'd say no.
Or worse, that they would say, no, Damon's more important than Enzo.
Yeah, that they would say Damon or Sarah or anything else is more important. And so she was like, if I'm going to get Enzo back, it's on me and me alone. Which is, you know, a misread in theory, but it is also like she's kind of had to be there for herself for a long time because, you know, she doesn't really have people to rely on in the same way.
And I think if she had said, I want to save Enzo, I think Caroline would have played the middle. But I think because Caroline has been dealing with like raising the kids in the Stefan drama, Bonnie is less aware of where Caroline stands. I do think that if she went to Stefan and said, we have to save Enzo, Stefan would be like, no, Sarah's the thing today. Sorry.
Yeah.
Boo hoo.
Stefan would have definitely picked Sarah. And I think Caroline would have like fought for each.
Because to be fair, Stefan doesn't have a good relationship with Enzo. And that's not entirely Stefan's fault. In fact, I would say it's more Enzo's fault than Stefan's.
Yeah.
So I can't blame Stefan for wanting to prioritize Damon.
And also because I can't blame Stefan for wanting to prioritize Sarah, because silly as I think the Sarah Salvatore arc was, it does make sense that this is like their one living relative. Stefan wants to make sure she has a good life, and he keeps accidentally putting her in danger. Like, I understand him prioritizing that.
Yeah.
And I think Caroline, because of the kids, you know, there's a family pull that's very strong for her. And so I think that's part of the reason Bonnie was like, I can't even bring them into it because I don't want to make Caroline choose between me and Stefan because she's finally happy with Stefan.
Yeah.
So I'll just take care of this. And then once Enzo's safe, like, then I can deal with the rest. Like, but this is what I have to do today.
Exactly. Caroline says, is that how you really feel? And Bonnie says, yeah, I hate myself for it, but that is how I feel. And Caroline says, you're not alone, Bonnie. I'm so sorry. I should have thought about what this was like for you. I've been a terrible friend. I know I've been distracted, but I'm here for you always. No matter what happens in my life, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, even if it's just to rage and scream at me. This is a great scene because they are both right. They both have had shortcomings.
Yeah, neither of them are like 100% wrong or 100% right. Like, yes, Caroline could have like thought about how this was affecting Bonnie more. But also, like, she's finally happy. It's not wrong of her to miss that.
And she's got other shit.
Like, and yes, Bonnie should have, like, not taken Enzo and thought about the other plan. But, like, Enzo's who's been there for her. Like, both of them made choices that make sense logically and, like, hurt each other. But also, like, there's no wrong person here. Like, they both just have been struggling.
And it's hard because, again, back to the, like, friendship issue is I feel like a lot of the reasons the Caroline-Bonnie friendship has suffered is because Julie Plett keeps killing Bonnie and taking her away from everybody. So there's been a lot of times where Bonnie hasn't been there for Caroline, which are completely out of her control. Like when she's on the other side, when she was in the prison world.
Yeah, because Julie Plett wants Kat Graham dead so fucking bad, Bonnie has to be really independent all the time. Whereas Caroline is a little more in touch with leaning on people, but particularly leaning on Stefan. We've really been like focused on that. Whereas like, even though Bonnie like leans on Damon, like she's very much standing on her own. Not that Caroline isn't standing on her own, but that like Stefan really helped her work through a lot of like her mom stuff. Whereas Bonnie, like she works through things very, you know, independently with some support, but she's very much in her own
head. Yeah, she has to shoulder a lot on her own. And that's exactly what I was going to bring up is Liz Forbes dying. By the time Bonnie went into the prison world when Liz was alive and healthy, and she came out and Liz is dead.
Yeah, and they basically had one scene where Bonnie was like, sorry about your mom.
Yeah.
Because she missed it. Like,
Julie Plec.
Bonnie has been forced to be independent. And so has Caroline. But Caroline's been actively working through that with Stefan because they're both working on that. Mm-hmm. Whereas Bonnie and Enzo are like both independent and they like support each other, but they're not like, they don't lean on each other in the same way. And that's not like to say it's a less important relationship or something, but it's just different personality types.
Well, and also Bonnie and Enzo fell in love, just the two of them, by themselves. They haven't really been integrated in this group the same way because Enzo was an adversary to this group for a long time.
Yeah. I love every time you're about to say something negative about Enzo, you look at me like, Enzo?
Like, they're all coming around to him now, but...
Yeah. But that was the thing. Caroline and Stefan were falling in love very much, like, in both were in the group. Both were, like, very well understood, and, like, people could see them falling in love as it was happening because they were very aware. Whereas Bonnie and Enzo were in their own little world, and they fell in love because they were in their own little world. It's just an independence thing that makes it hard for Bonnie to get support because most people treat her like she doesn't need any goddamn support.
Yeah.
And she can just do everything.
Exactly. But, and I think this is a lesson Caroline has learned too, is like, you have to communicate your issues if you want people to work on them. And I think that's a big thing that Caroline has learned in her relationship with Stefan, that Bonnie just doesn't communicate her issues to Caroline the same way.
Well, I think that's why the Bonnie-Elena friendship was so good, because Elena is like so good at vulnerability and Bonnie is very bad at vulnerability. It hasn't been safe for her to be vulnerable for the entire show, essentially. Yeah. So that's not a read on her. But I think Elena was very good at being like, you're not doing well. Like, spit it out, sister. Whereas like Caroline, again, has her own shit going on right now. Like, there's just a lot happening with her that she can't like necessarily notice this. They're just trying to get through this day saving Sarah. She's focused on Stefan's side of it because that's who she sees more.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, again, no one's wrong. It's just like a rough day today for all involved.
Yeah. Bonnie says, none of this is your fault. Caroline says, except I was so caught up in my own drama, I didn't even realize what this was doing to you. I swear to you, we are going to save Enzo together. And then we're going to go back to our normal, crazy, mutually awesome lives. Your happiness is a part of my happiness always. I'm going to fix this for us. So they hug. It's cute. Stefan approaches and he says, Caroline. And Bonnie says, is Sarah okay? And you can see in Stefan's face, it's like, does it look like she's okay?
And that's the thing. Stefan's like, I'm so sorry I made you wait in the car. We never even got down there. And Bonnie's like, yes.
Yes. That's the thing. I do feel like even if Bonnie had pulled the car up, they wouldn't have gotten down there in time. Like,
yeah,
there's no avoiding this.
Yeah, this was pretty inevitable from the start of the day, but that doesn't make it any easier for Stefan. Stefan's like, well, there goes the Salvatore name. Yeah. Damon better stay with Elena and have kids or else this name is dead.
Yeah. We go over to the Forbes house. Rick arrives home and Celine is there. And she says, hey, they wanted to pick out their PJs themselves. I was just about to go up and check on them. They said, we're not paying the toddlers this week.
They said, they're upstairs. You're not seeing them.
Rick says, oh, I can do that. And I'm sorry I'm late. You know, there's a big archive search still in progress at work. I didn't mean to derail your evening. Good news, the sun's out. So,
yeah, she said, it's fine. It's 5 p.m.
Yeah. She says, oh, it's okay. I'm not in a rush. And your work's important, I assume.
Yeah, she's like, and your work's important, I guess.
Right? Is it?
You pay me enough that they must pay you well.
Rick says, yeah, well, that remains to be seen. I mean, like, all I have so far is a series of tenuous connections between a journal from 1790, my intern's secret tattoo, and unconfirmed reports of hell as a place that offers up not only emotional turmoil, but ancient mystical runes, allegedly. And she said, what?
She's like, girl, I didn't follow that at all. Can I go?
She said, okay, maybe your work's not important. It sounds kind of silly now.
Anyway, I ate the chicken that was in your freezer. Hope that's cool.
Anyway, I drank a whole bottle of wine.
So I'm not really sure I followed a word of what you just said.
Celine says, you don't date much, do you? Well, this isn't a date, bitch. This is your boss. Rick says, it's been a while. Because he's more open to this than Georgie, it seems.
Yeah. And I can't blame him for it.
Georgie's laying it on a little thick.
Yeah. And the hot nanny is a classic.
And Celine already, you know, gets along with his kids.
Yeah.
Subconsciously, he's probably more, you know, amenable to that. Celine says, but you know what your intern's secret tattoo is?
Got him there.
Yeah. And Rick says, only because of research. I can't stress to you enough. Like, she does want to fuck me, but I am turning it down.
He said, I'm not interested. That bitch is crazy.
He said, you're my first choice. I'll settle for her at some point if I have to. Because at the end of the day, I like young women. What can I say?
I married one old woman and she died.
On her wedding night. Celine says, no judgment. And then Rick's phone rings and he says, oh, that's her now. And Celine says 8 a.m. tomorrow. And Rick says, yeah, I'll see you then. Bye.
Celine's like, great. Can I leave?
Can I go?
I don't like this conversation at all.
I'm not having fun here. Rick answers the phone. Georgie's on FaceTime. And Georgie says, hey, man. So now she's going for the friend thing. She yeah. said, change tactics. I'll get you.
Friends to lovers. That's my new approach.
Yeah.
Friends to lovers with the guy who knows I went to hell for killing my best friend. This will certainly go well. Yeah. I got him.
I've got him right where I want him. She says, you owe me, and not just for the takeout dinner I had to buy on my paltry stipend. He said, why'd you order dinner?
And why didn't he offer to order her dinner? What kind of advisor is this?
He didn't want to give her any ideas.
Yeah, that's true.
Rick says, is this intern swagger code for boss I found something? And she says, yeah, a certain missing artifact from Midsummer's Day 1790. And my swagger is just hiding how completely terrified I am. Rick says, well, show me. Georgie picks up a metal item. And she says, this thing delivered with your vault inhabitant. She shows the tattoo and she says, I think it was made in hell because the same logo is on the thing. What is this thing?
Sometimes you ask a question like that, then I'm like, I really should have seen this one coming.
Yeah, I know.
So this came with the skeleton and it's got the hell logo on it. It looks like one of those forks you use to hold a ham while you slice it.
It does.
I'm just saying that so we can set the baseline of what it looks like.
Yeah.
It's also rusty.
Yeah.
Ran out of descriptive words and I have to say something. It's, you know, it is metal. So yep. It could be a weapon.
Okay.
But it's not sharp.
Not particularly. Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's not necessarily a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks kind of like a tuning fork.
Oh.
I don't know how that would work. But the things that come to mind when I look at it are like a trident.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a cattle prod, although cattle prod is just one rod. But, you know.
Yeah.
It's questionable, like, what exactly it's for. And also, you know, just because it has the symbol doesn't mean it was made in hell, but it appears that it had been brought to hell, perhaps.
That's an important distinction. Or that it somehow is related to hell. Like someone carved it in, like, hey.
Maybe it's a key.
A key to what? Hell? Yeah.
Yeah. What else would it be a key to? Don't ask stupid questions.
There's a key to a car. Bitch, you know I'm in hell.
You're making it sound stupid on purpose.
Interesting. Interesting.
Because it reminds me of like a vintage, like pressure point key. And by vintage, I mean ancient.
Okay.
I'm not saying like a 50s key. I'm yeah. saying like a 1700s key.
Yeah.
To clarify.
To clarify. Interesting. I wonder what if we'll find out what it is.
It's interesting that I took the direction of not a weapon.
It is, isn't it?
My mind.
We go back to the hotel pool. We just went back to this hotel gun convention. I mean, I guess there's people there.
Well, she's got to go swimming.
Yeah, food's good. Pool's good. Damon and Sybil are both like feeding on a woman.
Well, Sybil's just making out.
Oh, yeah. Sybil's making out with her and Damon's feeding on her. Okay.
Sure.
Who knows what she's getting out of that? Sure. Besties. Enzo returns and says, back on task, I see.
Enzo's like, God.
Sybil says, deliver us some evil. We wouldn't want to fall behind on our quota after that little sidebar today.
And so quota's interesting as well. Who's enforcing a quota?
Yeah, great question. What is the quota? How much do they need to do?
I would say it has to be at least 100. Because we know they're already at 87, 88 with Sarah, I suppose.
Yeah. What happens when they hit 100?
Devil comes out and says, you got it, girl.
Gold star.
Yeah, he gives her a...
You get a pizza party.
She gives her a plaque.
Yeah.
I said she.
Ooh.
And the devil might be a woman. Gives her a little kiss.
Yeah, says great work. Mwah.
Gives her a microphone so she can sing better.
And then is she done killing or is it just like a...
No.
Just a milestone.
I mean, I think she has to kill at least, 100 or whatever the quota is. But then I think there's another job after that.
Sure. Well, she's been alive for some time. I guess she was in the vault. So maybe that slowed down her quota.
Maybe you have to kill a certain number of evil people every year or something.
Oh, that's good.
Like it's like a LuLaRoe situation.
Sure. Absolutely.
She's got to sell enough... of the devil's leggings.
Yeah, talk about the devil. Yeah. Damon Vampire runs to Enzo and grabs Enzo's heart, which freaks Enzo out and lowers his guard. So then Sybil grabs Enzo's head and says, thank you. And then Damon lets go.
And Enzo's like, oh, man.
Should have seen this one coming. Sybil says, I just need a little peek. She goes in his head and she sees the earlier scene with Bonnie, but a part we didn't see earlier.
And at first it's a far away shot. And I'm like, please don't zoom in. Please don't say her name. Because he loves to say Bonnie Bennett.
Yeah. At least in this scene, he does not say her name, but he does zoom in. And Enzo says, you know, you have to let me go. You have to. And Bonnie says, if you're going to leave, then leave. I'm not going to watch you. And then Enzo kisses her. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. They're in love.
It's romantic.
And Enzo says, know this, love. I will never stop fighting. I will brave the oceans and sail past the sirens to find my way back to you.
And Sybil says, well, that was targeted.
And Sybil says, now, why'd you say sirens? That is messed up, bitch. I've been nothing but nice.
Did you tell her about me?
Back in reality, Sybil says, now, why haven't I seen her before?
Enzo's like, that was fucking by design. Like, what do you mean, why haven't you seen her? I was hiding her.
Obviously, I've been hiding her, bitch. And now I bet you feel pretty stupid for killing Sarah, who was very clearly a red herring.
Yeah.
We go over to the Salvatore house. Stefan is standing by the fire. He's upset, naturally. And Caroline says, hey, I took Bonnie home. And Stefan says, I would have gone with you. And Caroline says, oh, no, you needed some alone time. Do you want to talk about it? And Stefan says, not particularly. And she says, okay, let me rephrase. You need to talk about it.
She says, well, I wasn't really asking, okay?
She says, you can't carry all this by yourself. And Stefan says, actually, I have to. You don't. He says, last Salvatore standing, every blood relative I've ever had or ever known. After today, they're all gone. And Caroline says, Stefan. And Stefan says, I know what you're going to say. It's not my fault Sarah died, but it was. It wasn't your fault in pretty much every conceivable way.
Yeah, like, you did what you could. I mean, she was always getting herself into that shit. Like,
the events of today, sorry, there's one person who pretty clearly shoulders almost all the blame, and it's Enzo.
I think Enzo did everything he could, but he had to send her somewhere.
But he brought up the name. I mean, that's the thing. He's the one who sent them to Sarah. And again, I think Enzo did everything he could.
I think the person who's most at fault is Sarah, because she didn't get her fucking ass in gear.
She wanted to finish her degree.
No, I mean, like, she could come back in a week.
No, I hear that. I don't think we're going to... We can't blame Sarah for this.
Oh, we can.
Well, I mean, the number one person we can blame, let's face it, is Sybil.
Yeah, yeah.
But Enzo's pretty up there. Either way, I'm not blaming Stefan for this.
Well, I'm not blaming Enzo.
Doesn't make it not his fault. Stefan says, I'm part of the reason every Salvatore is dead. I mean, I either put them in harm's way or I killed them myself.
We really only know about
Zach, Gail, Giuseppe. I mean, he did kill Giuseppe.
But that was warranted, I think you could argue. Yes,
and he did force Damon to transition.
Did he actually kill that other uncle? No, that was Damon, wasn't it?
We never learned about that uncle.
Oh.
We just know Stefan was there.
Yeah.
And that uncle died of an animal attack. We've never gotten any information about that.
I held that theory for a long time. So
I know. It could have been either of them. I was going to say, I think we could assume it's Damon. But I think Damon was in Augustine at that time.
Yeah, I'm trying to think when he went into Augustine. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Well, I think you can conclusively say that Sarah was not Stefan's fault.
Yes, easily.
Like, he didn't put her in harm's way, and he tried to save her. He got mind controlled. Like, you can't control that. Sorry. Like, I'm not blaming Enzo, but I want to make it clear I'm not blaming Stefan.
Yeah, I'm going to blame Enzo.
Classic you.
Well, if we even go back, Enzo's the one who sought her out in the first place.
Well, Stefan should have hit her better.
What else was he going to do other than give her a fake name?
He could have given her a fake first name. Although, I guess Sarah is already pretty.
Yeah, what?
He couldn't get more boring than that.
Emily? Anyway, Caroline says, I wasn't going to say that. I was just going to say that Damon's not gone. And Stefan says, yeah, he is. I mean, I saw it happen. He belongs to the siren now. And Caroline says, well, you can't give up hope. Okay? So, jot that down.
I feel like they must think, like, man, this, we're just saying this now. What do you mean he belongs to the siren now? We just learned about sirens today.
Yeah.
Like, how are we already using it?
Stefan says, I won't give up hope. Hey, I want to show you something. Come on. They go to a room, the room that Stefan's been doing renovations on. And he says, this got delivered while we were out today. It's a dresser. He says, the girls' beds should arrive tomorrow. I'm knocking this wall out so they can fit side by side. And Caroline says, you're making this into a room for my kids? Mama, this is dreamy.
Mm-hmm. It's romance.
Stefan says, yeah, I mean, I figured they might want to come visit sometime. Is that okay? He said, I'm the father that stepped up. Caroline says, of course it's okay. I never expected you to do this. And Stefan says, why not? You're my family now. Caroline says, oh my God. And Stefan says, oh, check out the dresser. It's antique. And she says, okay, I'll go open a drawer in an empty dresser for no reason. She
said, fine. It's pretty. Yeah,
I'll bite.
It's a dresser.
Yeah. She says, like, oh my God, it's beautiful. The girls are going to love it. She opens a drawer and there's a velvet box. And Stefan says, actually, that's for you.
She's like, well, I was hoping this was for me and not my 3-year-olds.
She said, it better be. She opens it and it's a ring. It's a really beautiful, sparkly ring. It's very Caroline style, not necessarily mine.
It's a little bit Super Bowl ring looking.
Yes.
But I think that's Stefan's taste. He likes his gaudy jewelry. I get it.
Yeah. Stefan says, I was hoping you might wear it. And she says, wear it like what? A friendship ring? Or?
She said, no, I'm going to need you to say it.
Yeah. He says, do I really need to say it? And she says, yeah, I think you do, dude.
She said, excuse the fuck out of me.
That's like the one thing you have to do in proposals is say it.
Yeah. Two things. Ask to marry them and get the ring. You only did one so far.
Yeah.
Move it.
Move it along. He should have Googled what Matt Googled. 10 best ways to propose. 10
best
to
ways
her.
To propose. Yeah.
Stefan says, Caroline Elizabeth Forbes, will you do me the honor of wearing this engagement ring as a token of my love? They kiss. She says, too many words. Just get to the point. He says, I want you to marry me. Will you? And they kiss. He says, yes. They kiss. Happy ending. Steriline haters, you'll never bring me down. They're in love.
They're in love.
Steriline stands. We eating tonight. We feasting.
Yummy.
Deep down, I do wish this was Klaus, but I'm supporting them.
Well, Klaus is in New Orleans or missing, so...
He'll be back someday.
Maybe.
In my mind, they're married.
Keep it in your mind, bitch. This is reality.
It's a safe space in my mind where everything I want to happen happens.
And we, of course, end the episode on this happy note. The first question I want to ask you, are we going to get an on-screen wedding?
We are.
When?
I don't think it'll be the finale.
Okay.
Because I think the finale will have other things to cover. But I think, you know, in the last, like, 4 episodes.
Okay. Do you think it'll be a pretty wedding?
Yeah. I think it'll be like an actual wedding.
Okay.
White dress, the whole 9. I bet the little girls will be flower girls.
Oh, too easy.
I mean, they're right there. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to wait till Damon gets his shit together and Bonnie gets her shit together because we need some best man maid of honor stuff.
That's true. Now back to the matter at hand. How are Damon and Enzo going to get out of Sybil's grasp?
Yeah, because now it appears that she can like insert herself into memories and shift the memory connection. And it's harder for Damon because, like, he can't just go talk to Elena.
Yeah, that's true.
Because at least Enzo, like, Bonnie could, in theory, talk him out of it.
I do think it's interesting that Sybil sees Bonnie and doesn't immediately replace Bonnie with herself.
That is interesting. Maybe she wants to punish him for hiding it a little longer, you know? Mm-hmm. I do think Enzo makes a point to say, like her mind is bound to mine. So if there's a bound or a link, like, you can always break those.
Yeah.
In some way. Now, of course, the problem, Bonnie doesn't have magic right now. We could get magic back. And again, I brought up the siphons last week. Like, can we siphon that bond out? Of course, in order to do that, we have to get them near the babies, which is not ideal. And especially if they're going to be interacting with the Simon, because, you know, I brought this up before, but she interacts with Stefan, but she doesn't like sing to Stefan and like keep him in her grasp the same way she's done with Damon and Enzo, even though she had the opportunity to.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
And so it may be that like having brothers would complicate it because they're tied to each other in some way, that they're like, they have enough care that that could override it.
Oh, that's interesting.
The other option is that like she really only wants 2 mm-hmm. for whatever reason, or can only have 2 at a given time, something like that.
Oh, interesting.
And also I want to bring up, we know Miss Georgie supposedly went to hell and we know there's this connection to hell, but in everything we've seen, like when she, like Sybil's only killing humans and sending them to hell. You know, I rose that she wasn't killing these vampires. So maybe the hell that she is serving is only for humans.
That's an interesting
like
point.
Maybe it's not a place for supernatural creatures in any way.
So where do supernatural creatures go?
Some other hell. But maybe there's like a different morality standard for supernatural creatures than there is for humans.
Like you're allowed to kill more people if you're a vampire than if you are if you're a human.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe God absolves you from killing people when you're a vampire and Stefan's been holding back for nothing.
Not for nothing.
Except, you know, for his own feeling.
Not being a ripper. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. As always, if you are enjoying The Vampire Diaries and or Doppelgangers, please tell your friends and give us 5 stars rating and review on Apple and Spotify podcasts.
And follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Doppelgangers Podcast.
But that's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye, brother.
Goodbye, brother.